Good morning, Symphony Church. We just finished our journey through 1st and 2nd Samuel, and before we start a new journey together through the wonderful book of Ephesians, we are going to take a brief detour through 2nd and 3rd John. Now, the letters of John are really quite interesting books within our New Testament, but they are so full of beautiful writing, and I'm excited to walk us through two of them. Today, we'll be reading 2 John together, and I'll read that aloud for us. 2 John. The elder, to the elect lady and her children, whom I love in truth, and not only I, but also all who know the truth, because of the truth that abides in us and will be with us forever. Grace, mercy, and peace will be with us, from God the Father and from Jesus Christ, the Father's Son, in truth and love. I rejoice greatly to find some of your children walking in the truth, just as we were commanded by the Father. And now I ask you, dear lady, not as though I were writing you a new commandment, but the one we have had from the beginning, that we love one another. And this is love, that we walk according to his commandments. This is the commandment, just as you have heard from the beginning, so that you should walk in it. For many deceivers have gone out into the world, those who do not confess the coming of Jesus Christ in the flesh. Such a one is the deceiver and the antichrist. Watch yourselves so that you may not lose what we have worked for, but may win a full reward. Everyone who goes on ahead and does not abide in the teaching of Christ does not have God. Whoever abides in the teaching has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not receive him into your house or give him any greeting, for whoever greets him takes part in his wicked works. Though I have much to write to you, I would rather not use paper and ink. Instead, I hope to come to you and talk face to face so that our joy may be complete. The children of your elect sister greet you. Amen. Now, right off the bat, if you're wondering who John is, he is one of the 12 disciples that followed Jesus during his earthly ministry. John, the disciple who Jesus loved, the author of the gospel according to John. And so John's credentials precede himself, and we know that this is a man that really knew Jesus. John was someone who experienced so closely the teachings and the wisdom and the love of the Christ. By the time he wrote this letter, however, John had lived a long life. Jesus had ascended many, many years ago, and in the time that followed, much had happened within the faith. John would have seen churches form and seen with his own eyes the fires of the Pentecost. He would have stood before Paul as the former persecutor came before the apostles to testify of Christ's redemption. He would have watched the rest of the 12 martyred for their faith, one by one. He would have wept with the church as persecution brought great tragedy, and also rejoiced with the church as God sustained them still and allowed them to blossom. He would have eventually lived long enough to realize Christ's desire for him to grow old and not be killed. And it's with that that John starts his letter by addressing himself as the elder. In terms of who he's writing to, some interpret the text plainly and infer that John is writing to some unidentified woman who has children. However, given the persecution that still swept the church in John's old age and the particular language he uses later in the letter, it's commonly understood, actually, that John was cryptically addressing a certain church and its members so as to avoid identification. He referred to them as the elect lady and her children. So here's John writing to a church somewhere. He keeps his letter short and to the point, and this really important encouragement that he felt was necessary to share to his brothers and sisters is to walk in truth and love one another. To walk in truth and love one another. Come on, that's like Christianity 101, isn't it? Like, John, you really have nothing better to tell us? But no, John, in his wisdom, shares something that I think is quite profound. In all his years of ministry, after learning from Christ himself, and after being a fundamental figure in the founding of the church, John has come to know that what matters in a church is that you walk in truth and that you love one another. John actually rejoices when he finds that this church was doing well in this. They were following God's commandments and confessing the coming of Jesus in the flesh and abiding in the teaching of Christ. And he explains to the church that the natural result of walking in truth is growing also in love for the brothers and sisters around you. He says, if you're walking in truth, if you're following the commands of the Father, then make sure you remember the one where he commands you to love one another. John saw these two things, truth and love, as two essential endeavors of a church that follows after Christ's own heart. After all the years of ministry and guidance from the Holy Spirit, he recognizes the supreme value of abiding in truth and in loving your neighbor. I realized firsthand how easy it can be to lean too heavily on one or the other. Perhaps for you, you love the truth that faith offers. You're continually blessed by following the commandments of the Lord and by exploring their authority in your life. But you can't help but be a little complacent when it comes to community. Or perhaps you love community. You love serving and checking in with and praying for the brothers and sisters in your church, but you're not willing to go deeper in allowing the truth of the gospel to fully shine a light in your life. Whichever you land on, be encouraged by John's opening statement, which I think is so illuminating. He says, "The elder to the elect lady and her children, whom I love in truth, and not only I, but also all who know the truth, because of the truth that abides in us and will be with us forever." What John is saying is, dear church, I love you. Not just me, but every brother and sister who knows Jesus loves you. Why? Because we have a truth that abides in each and every one of us and will be with us forever. We have a truth that connects each and every one of us, that spurs us to love one another with a love that overcomes any difference or division or conflict that could separate us. That truth is Jesus Christ. He is a truth worth knowing, a truth that transforms us to walk in his ways and to love one another. Brothers and sisters, I hope that you can join me in really pursuing these two endeavors, in pursuing truth and in symphony, and in pursuing love in symphony. Let's pray together and let's invite Jesus to help us to do these things. Lord, we thank you for this word. We thank you that you are calling us to go beyond what might be natural for us. Lord, I pray that as we go about our days, that you can help us to walk first in truth and also to walk in great love. Lord, neither of these things are natural and easy for us, but I pray that your Spirit can really help us. Help us to bless one another. Help us to be blessed by your authoritative word. And in all these things, may we give you glory. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.